Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Listen again for the word of the Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He, Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In 2016, Shonda Rhimes released a book called The Year of Yes. You might have heard of the book, you might have heard of her. She's an award-winning TV producer of shows like Grey's Anatomy and Scandal. And in this book, she covers a year of her life where she said yes to every new and scary and uncomfortable opportunity that came her way. This idea of choosing yes took off. Book groups discussed it, news articles covered it, and it's an enticing premise. Who doesn't want to say yes? I want to say yes. I want to say yes to everything. And sometimes I try to do that. And if you're like me, this last year has been particularly difficult because we're not living in a year of yes, we're living in a year of no. There are so many things we cannot or should not do. Over this last year, we've all gotten a crash course in how to say no. I've said no to group meals. I've said no to carpooling. I've said no to family gatherings. I've said no to being in other people's houses. I've said no to large public events. And that meant that last spring, I chose not to represent our church at the Marietta prayer gathering. And it gave me heartburn not to be there in person. I've said no to good and worthy opportunities. And I've gotten better at saying no. It's less hard to say no now, but I still find it hard to say no. No feels like no fun. No feels impolite. No feels like not being a team player. Sometimes no even feels un-Christian. For the last few weeks, we've been following Mark chapter 1, and what we've read so far is that Jesus has been pretty busy. He begins his ministry, he is healing the sick and driving out demons, and now he's in Capernaum, a fishing village on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's developed a bit of a following. In chapter 1, verse 29, Jesus heals the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. The locals find out, and they start lining up, and Jesus heals them too. He heals, and he heals, and he heals. The next morning, Jesus gets up early and goes off by himself to pray. And I love what happens in verse 36. The disciples hunt him down. Hunt him down. If that sounds creepy, it is. They pursue him like you might pursue an enemy. And when they find him, they say, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, we've seen the long lines of COVID testing, and now we're seeing long lines at COVID vaccination sites. Long lines of people just wanting to be made whole in a way that will allow them to re-enter society. Imagine this long line of people coming to see Jesus, hoping to be healed, hoping to be made whole. And because it's Jesus, we feel pretty confident that he'll do the right thing, right? I mean, surely Jesus will wrap up praying and get back to work. Cast your burdens upon me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest, he says. Let the children come to me, he says. But when the disciples find Jesus, what does he say? Let's go to the next town. Let's go to the next town. Christians believe that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And if that math doesn't add up, it's not supposed to. It's a theological paradox. And here in this story, we run headlong into this paradox. Jesus, the divine Son of God, will save all creation. Jesus, the human being, will work one mustard seed at a time. There is work to be done, and that work is not constrained to the hometown of Simon Peter, or to Galilee, or even to all of Judea. During this time of prayer, I think Jesus has clarified something, his calling in this moment. It's not to heal the throngs of people who are waiting at the door. His calling is to keep moving. We could even say that in this moment, Jesus says no. Even when he could help, even when he might be the best person to help, still he says no. Moses also says no. He's a little bit more like us. He's not very good at it. In our Old Testament lesson, we read that from sunup to sundown, Moses sits before the people and mediates their conflict. He holds court. She took my camel, he broke my tent. She says that baby is hers, but it's actually mine. That last one was actually mediated by Solomon. But I like to imagine that there are some Jerry Springer moments in there. And maybe there is some of that. But like our conflicts today, most of these conflicts were probably real and meaningful. And Moses is doing important work. He's maintaining this community by resolving their disputes. His father-in-law Jethro comes to visit, and Jethro notices Moses is working himself into the ground, and he suggests that Moses delegate. The advice isn't just good leadership, it's setting healthy boundaries. And by doing this, Moses can work refreshed and clear-headed. Moses is free to do what he alone can do, which is mediate between the people and God. And finally, by doing this, Moses invites others to contribute their gifts of discernment and wisdom to serve the people. Ultimately, Moses says no to the thing that isn't his calling, so he can say yes to what is. But it's hard to say no. In college, I was tricked into going on a date. My friend called me up and asked, "What are you doing Saturday night?" And I said, "Nothing." "Do you want to go to a movie?" he said. I didn't want to go to a movie. So I said, "Yes," because it's hard to say no to someone you care about. It's hard to say no to the things you care about. Over the last year, we've had a couple of committees form at this church. That's a big surprise. We have some more committees. These committees are looking at our website. They're looking at our online presence. And this work really, truly matters because so much of what we do now is online. I was asked to join these committees, and I was very excited and enthusiastic to say yes. And then after a few months, I realized that these good and worthy things were taking away from the commitment I made to this church, to pastor you, and to support the discipleship and mission ministries. The good news is that we have a brilliant church staff. We have people who are way better suited than me to sit at those tables. So I handed it off because it's good and worthy work. It just wasn't the work I needed to be doing. Every sermon is dangerous ground. And it's dangerous because when I pray for inspiration, God always answers. See, the real risk of prayer is this. It's not that God won't hear us. It's that God will hear us. The risk is that God will give us opportunities to improve ourselves if we pray about it. So on a week when I'm trying to understand what it means to say no, I got a lesson in what happens when you don't say no enough. Alicia Jones, our children's minister, is retiring in the next week. So right now, I'm juggling her transition, trying to attend a virtual professional conference, it's as fun as it sounds, a continuing education class, a Sunday school lesson, a sermon, and all the other normal stuff that's supposed to happen during a week. So for Alicia's transition, we're having these farewell calls with her ministry groups. We planned a call for Wednesday night. It's on my calendar. I tell my kids they're going to attend. Everyone's excited. And on Wednesday, I hit the ground running. I work. I get the kids. We eat dinner. I join an evening meeting. I go to bed. And on Thursday morning, I wake up and realize we never joined the farewell Zoom call. There's not going to be another farewell Zoom call to join. As a parent, as a coworker, I failed all the way around because the one thing I wanted to say yes to this week, I forgot to do because I was busy saying yes to things that just weren't quite as important. We do well to say no. To say no to the things that rob us of joy, that drain our energy, to toxic relationships, to unhealthy habits, to addictions, distractions, and all the things that separate us from one another and from God. But we also do well to say no to the good things that are keeping us from the better things. And I'm convinced that saying no is a fundamental spiritual discipline of the Christian life. We must say no if we want to put aside the pressure of this world and be transformed by the presence of Christ. We say no to the wrong things so we can say yes to the right things. And God calls us to serve in so many ways. God is constantly knocking, trying to see what is it that we might respond to. I don't think that the opportunity is limited. I think the opportunity is very wide. That's actually part of the problem. You might have received a phone call. We're really looking for someone to do X, Y, Z. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's here at the church. There's all kinds of opportunities to serve. And right here at the church, there are opportunities. Someone may have called you to teach the preschool or Sunday school or hand out food to the hungry or encourage the youth on Sunday night. You might have gotten a call to see if you might manage the church investments or run a coat drive or run the soundboard. And if some of these jobs, some of these ways of serving sound horrible to you, that's okay. They sound like heaven to someone else. And I say that not just because I've observed it, but because I've lived it, I've experienced it. And what I know is that when God calls us, God is not calling half-hearted warm bodies. God calls us to places where we might find our deepest joy, where our faith is fueled. And those are the opportunities that we are invited to say yes to. When we learn to say no to the wrong things, we have the freedom to say yes to the right ones. If Moses had spent all day arbitrating conflicts, he would never have had the time to go up Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments. I mean, what if he had said, you know, God, I'd love to chat, but these guys have a dispute with some sheep, and I need to resolve that first. Or what if Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry healing the people of Capernaum? They would have been very grateful, but his message might not have made it out of Galilee. There's a fear I have, and you might have this too, that if I say no to something good, nothing good will ever come along again. But that's a lie, and it takes faith to resist that. I'm here today serving this church because I said no to good and worthy opportunities. opportunities that God wasn't calling me to. And on a less serious note, I had a lovely date with that guy in college. There was no goodnight kiss, there was no second date, and I'm pretty happy with how it turned out, because a few months later, I met my future husband. And when he asked me to go see a movie, I said yes, and I meant it. It's not easy to say no, it takes courage. But what I find in Scripture, what I find in my own life, is that when we take time to be alone with God, when we pray, when we listen, when we open our hearts to how God is moving in our lives, when we trust that what God has planned is bigger and better than we could ever imagine, then we will find the courage to say no, like Moses did, like Jesus did, so that when God calls, we have the margin in our lives to say yes. May it be so. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.